Open your Bibles tonight to Matthew chapter 25. We'd like to continue on our stewardship series by tonight bringing you a message on talent tonight. I'd like to deal with the parable of the talents and how that applies to our lives today. I think that this passage hopefully will challenge you. And what I love about it is Jesus' own words. And as we look at this, I would like to challenge you to consider, what are your talents? What are the talents that God has given you? What are the talents that you're using? What are the talents that you're afraid to use? And what are the talents that possibly you're not using? In Matthew chapter 25, we have the parable of the talents. And this is actually, in this particular part of Scripture, the Olivet Discourse is the last of the five discourses. And this is the last of them. We have the Sermon on the Mount, which is chapters 5 through 7 in Matthew. The commissioning of the apostles in chapter 10. The parables about the kingdom in chapter 13, a discourse about the childlikeness of the believer in chapter 18, and of course, a discourse on his second coming in chapters 24 to 25. And it's interesting that each one of these discourses ends with when Jesus ended these sayings. And what I'd like to do tonight is I'd like to spend some time and look at the talents that God has given us. And I think the best thing we can do is go directly to the Scriptures. And so we're going to read along with me, if you would, in Matthew chapter 25. We're going to begin in verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who has called his own servants and delivered them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them 5 other talents. And likewise he that received 2, he also gained the other 2. But he that received 1 went and digged in the earth, and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoned with him. Verse 20. And so he had that received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 more talents. So everybody, 5 plus 5 is what, everybody? 10. Good. And the Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, and I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. He also that received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Look, or behold, I've gained 2 other talents besides them. Everybody, 2 plus 2 is what? Good. Verse 23, and the Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I know thee that thou art a hard man. Immediately this servant insults his master. Reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, by the way, he's lying. And I went and hid thy talent in the earth. And lo, there thou hast that is thine. Everybody, 1 plus 0 equals what? Good. Verse 26, the Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore have put the money to the exchangers. And then at my coming, I should have received my own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him that has 10 talents. Today, as we look at this introduction, I think some things are probably obvious to you. that this parable underscores fruitfulness of faithfulness and the tragedy of a wasted opportunity. The master in this parable is Jesus Christ. The master's journey is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ coming back soon. Remember, it was Jesus Christ that said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I'm going to come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be also. Then he goes on, he says, these things I've said unto you, and if it were not so, I would have told you so. So Jesus was saying, look, if it's not true, I wouldn't tell you this. The talents represent gifts and responsibilities that God has entrusted to us to multiply while we serve him. The master, Jesus Christ, ultimately returns with a reward for his faithful. And there'll be many opportunities in the days to come according to his ability. So we have the master here that goes on a journey and gives each servant a specific amount of money or talents. These servants are pictures of professing believers that are given different responsibilities. And the unprofitable servant is deceptive and he's wicked. Typically, a talent at this time weighed between 58 and 80 pounds. The master had entrusted his servants with a considerable amount of money, if you can only imagine. But each of those amounts was commensurate with the man's ability. I had the privilege to coach basketball. And a lot of times I'll have certain players that I put on more responsibility than others. If I've got an inside player that's over 6 foot tall. I expect that player, when I put him in there, to get a lot of rebounds. I expect at 6 foot to get 15, 16 rebounds a game. I just expect that. I expect that person to get 5 or 6 blocked shots a game. That's what I expect. But if I have another girl that's 5'3", she has a different ability, and I won't have that expectation from her. I have the expectation she's going to be able to bring the basketball up the court without it getting stolen. I expect her to be really fast. I expect her to be able to pass the ball to the girl inside. Different responsibilities. But I get excited when they meet their responsibilities and what they can do. The Lord Jesus Christ gives us all talents. Perhaps you have spiritual gifts. Perhaps you're an encourager. Perhaps you're a prayer warrior. Perhaps you're somebody that brings food when somebody's in need. Perhaps you're the one that comes and you knock on the door. Or you're the one that picks up the phone and calls. Or you're the one that texts. Or you're the one that Facebooks. Or you're the one that puts that message of encouragement. Maybe you have a physical gift. Many times we have work days here, or Jack will have a problem with something. We'll give somebody a call and you'll be here. Perhaps you have musical gifts. You can play the piano. You can play the trumpet. One of the neat things about here is when we see new families join the church, and the first thing you know is they jump into the choir, they jump into the orchestra. They take their gifts and they use them for the Lord. Perhaps you have analytical gifts. Perhaps you serve on committees. Perhaps you serve our pastor and maybe you help our deacon board or finance committee. You have specific gifts that God has given you and you want a talent. You want to use those talents for the Lord Jesus Christ. Or perhaps you have service gifts. When there's a need, you're going to be there. And perhaps you have professional gifts. But everyone in this building has gifts. It is vital that you understand what gifts you have. We are looking here at two servants that are faithful. First of all, these two servants were faithful, were rewarded for their faithfulness with additional wealth, additional responsibilities, and they would later share in the joy of the master. Some degree of fruitfulness is always a reward for faithfulness, and how God decides to do that is his business. But I'd like to share something with you today, the application. Number one, I think if you're going to read this parable, you need to understand something. What are your gifts? What are they? As you identify your gifts, what do you enjoy doing? What comes naturally to you? What are the gifts that people say you have? And if you think about that for a minute, you could probably give me some gifts that you have. I think if you know that you have gifts, secondly, if you apply those gifts and you identify those gifts, you need to nurture those gifts. Nurture them with training, reading. We have many teachers that have specific gifts. We have one teacher in this room right now is a mimeo trainer. She helps train other teachers how to use whiteboards, the interactive whiteboards. And what she found is she saw this thing happening and she says, I think I can do that. And God gave her a burden. And then she began to go and she got training and she began to do it. And now she trains others. She recognized the gift that she had. By the way, she enjoys doing it. And she has a great time doing it. And people tell her, you're good at this. What a waste that would have been if she said, you know, I'm just too tired to exercise that gift. You need mentoring. Perhaps you have a gift or you want to be a better prayer warrior. Or you want to be a better Christian. It doesn't matter what your age is. What's important is that you nurture the gifts that you have. And you practice those gifts. Sad to say, many have gifts. And they make excuses about those gifts. If you have a gift in a specific area, find opportunities to make that gift a better gift. I was working with a little ball player today. This ball player had 30 points scored on her last night. She came into the gym with her father and said, I want to get better. And she spent 30 minutes working on her gift. Because she knew she had a gift. She needed training. Perhaps you have a gift for soul winning and you're just scared. You know you love winning souls, but you don't know how to do it. Then you need help. We'll help you. So identify your gifts, nurture your gifts, but also exercise your gifts. Practice, practice, practice. If you have a gift, practice using it. If you don't use it, you'll lose it. Practice your gifts. But then we also have the unfaithful servant. This servant, having received one talent, reasoned that his master might not be coming back at all. And if he did return someday, the servant could simply dig up the talent and hand it to him. But if he failed to return, he could keep the investment for himself. Think about that for a minute. This man had no intention of making money. He had no intention of seeing that master again. He did not want to deposit that talent because if he deposited it with the exchangers, he would have had to record it. And he would have recorded that talent as the master's talent. Think about that for a minute. Do you have talents? And do you give God the glory for those talents? And do you let people know this is God's talent he's given me? And every talent that I have has the master's signature on it. And when the master comes back, he'll see his signature. And you say, I not only have 5 talents, but I have 5 more talents. He did not want to place this talent where it could be recorded and that it belonged to the master. His reasoning indicated his lack of faith in his master, and he proved to be a worthless servant. What a sad story. We all know stories of people that had potential. I love what Mrs. Sparks says. God never blesses potential. You ever heard this saying? Boy, he's got a lot of talent, but he won't use it. Here's an application. Don't waste your gifts. Work to identify and nurture your gift. Don't hoard your gift. Don't hoard your talent that you have. Don't bury it in the ground and hope someday somebody might find it. Don't blame others for your inability to grow your gift. Just recently, I had a meeting with an individual, and this individual blamed his family. And he would not exercise his gifts because of his family. Don't blame your boss. You have a gift at work. You have a gift somewhere. You have a gift in church. Don't blame those in authority. You can't exercise that gift. Oh, he won't let me do that. Oh, I won't even try. No, you exercise that gift. If God has given you the gift, he's given you the ability to exercise that gift. Don't blame your circumstances. We all have bad circumstances. Take the gift, take your talent, and use it. And finally, don't blame God. Do not blame God. He's the one that gave you the gift. You see, the unfaithful servant here was a wicked person. He was a selfish person. He wanted his own way. The result of unfaithfulness is interesting. The master returned what he lost. He took the talent from that man and gave it to the one with five talents. The servant lost his talent. The servant is identified as a hypocrite and wicked. And the servant is eventually cast out. Think about this for a minute. Do you have talents that you're hiding? Do you have talents that you're possibly wasting? Or do you have talents that you're using for the Lord and you want to use better? Recent study showed that you'll spend 23 years sleeping. If you have an average lifespan of about 70 years, you'll spend 16 years of your life working. You'll spend 8 years in media. You'll spend 6 years eating. Some of my junior high boys may spend a little more time. Travel is 6 years. Leisure is 6 years. You'll be sick 4 years. And dressing for 2 years. Again, I've got five girls. I think it may be 4 or 5 years dressing. And you'll spend a half a year worshiping the Lord. It was Ben Franklin that said, "Dost thou love life? Then do not squander time, for it is the stuff life is made out of." Think about that for a minute. Benjamin Franklin, "For it is the stuff life is made out of." That sounds like something we hear today. Don't squander time. There's an illustration from Dr. Paul Chappell that I've really enjoyed from his book, Stewarding Life. Imagine that your bank calls to ask you to help them pilot a new program. The plan is both lavish and simple. Each morning, the bank will credit $86,000 to your account that you may spend or invest as you like. But every night, that balance will go back to zero. It will carry no balance from day to day, meaning that you must spend or invest each deposit each day or it will be wasted. I think most of us, if we had the opportunity to spend $86,000 a day, we'd sure give it a good shot. Amen? But we do have a bank. And that bank credits us and our accounts every morning. And that bank is called time. You are given 86,370 seconds a day. And in this bank, the non-refundable deposit is canceled every morning. Whatever we don't spend and invest it is wasted. Failure to use the day's deposit results in an irreplaceable loss. As stewards of time, we learn to redeem the moments from the bank of today. Would you all say that with me? The bank of today. One more time. The bank of today. And invest them into the bank of eternity. Eternity knows nothing of the fleeting nature of time, and anything deposited there will be preserved forever. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 5 to 17, "See ye then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." You have 86,370 seconds to steward every moment. Is a precious gift from God. What talents do you have for the Lord? Are you nurturing those gifts? Are you growing those gifts? Are you hamstrung from your past and you say, "I have this gift, but because of my past, I'm not going to use this gift"? That's an excuse. Don't be selfish like the wicked servant and take your talent and bury it somewhere. Jesus Christ is coming back. And remember, when he comes back, he brings a reward with him. And you take your talents and you multiply them and use them for his glory. And he will reward you. The master is a picture of Jesus Christ. In this master's journey, it's a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, he's coming back soon. Servants represent believers, and the talents represent the gifts or responsibility that God has entrusted to us to multiply while we serve him. Believe me, he has entrusted the gifts that you have to you. He is giving them to you, and he desires that you use them for his glory and to multiply them, not to hide them. Remember, Christ will ultimately return with a reward to the faithful. There will be more opportunities in the days to come, according to your ability. But also the master, that's Jesus Christ, ultimately judges the servant who's selfish and wicked and slothful and deceit. Perhaps you want to exercise your gift, but you can't get out of bed. You need to get up. Perhaps you want to exercise your gift, but you've not prioritized that. Then it's time to prioritize it. Faithful and true. That's what God desires of us. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this opportunity. I thank you for the Word of God. I thank you for talents, great and small. And I pray, Lord, that we'll take each one of our talents and not be afraid to multiply them. Father, if there's ones in here that need to take those talents and get training, if there's ones here that need to spend time about reading about their talents and how to be better with their talents, I pray they would. And I pray, Lord, if there's anyone in this building tonight that is hiding a talent, that you've given them a gift and they're not using that gift, that they would commit tonight to use that talent and to unearth that talent before you come back, to dig up that talent and to use it and to multiply it before you return. As the scriptures say, even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. In Jesus' name, and God's people said, amen.